Hello, this is Tamika Faison, your host for Therapy Entrepreneurs and Leaders of Color, a podcast dedicated to supporting therapy entrepreneurs and leaders of color in their roles around the world. It's been a while since the last podcast. The last podcast was in July with Dr. Bill Wong, who I was able to meet in person in Paris, first time ever going out of off of the continent of North America. Excuse me. I was so excited about it. I'm getting my tongue twisted here. So went to France and had an opportunity to attend the World Federation of Occupational Therapy Conference. And not only did I get to meet Dr. Bill Wong, other many amazing occupational therapists, I was able to connect with occupational therapists of color, some who have been guests on the podcast and others that I met for the very first time. It was so exciting. I also had a chance to reconnect with Dr. Douglene Jackson. If you don't know her, where have you been? She is amazing and she knows it. And speaking of Dr. Douglene Jackson, she is our new guest podcast host. So moving forward, she and I will be tag teaming this podcast because we both do a lot of different things. And I realized that this was something that I needed to request some assistance with. So I reached out after I put out a post about needing some assistance, and she is amazing. I've heard her do interviews before, and this is just a perfect match for this role. So in the near future, you will be hearing Dr. Douglene Jackson as the host interviewing some therapy entrepreneurs and leaders of color. So for today, we have Trish McNeil. I'm going to read her bio here. Since her very meager beginnings, Trish McNeil always knew that she had a future filled with success, self-expression, and creativity. Born and raised in the inner city of Kansas City, Missouri, she was raised by her paternal grandparents and father. Her life changed for the better when she attended a public college prep academy. There, she discovered that her dreams could become actualized with hard work and grit. She went on to earn a bachelor's degree in health science and a master's degree in occupational therapy. During a time of grief, Trisha found creative inspiration. Home alone with nothing but free time, she drafted and developed her first batch of work and activity books for both children and adults. She has no plans to slow down. In the near future, her goal is to write and self-publish a memoir that details the first 25 years of her life. She now resides in Colorado and works in pediatric home health. Welcome to the show, Trisha.
Thank you.
I wanted to share briefly that, you know, you reached out to me about your coloring book, and I was able to purchase it and got it, you know, and I love it. Love it, love it. We're going to talk more about it as we go through the show. But I love it for me. I know it's for kids, but I'm like, I want to do these puzzles. I want to color. Adults color now, too, right?
Yeah, adults color, too. So
right? It's amazing, you all.
Thank you.
It's going to be a Christmas present for a lot of young people in my family. But let's talk about, Trish, how you got interested in OT. If you can just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became interested in the profession.
Well, I'm from Kansas City. I come from a family where no one went to college. I was the first in my family, actually. My uncle. He was the first to graduate from college when I was in high school. And then I was the second in my entire family, like extended family, cousins, aunts, everything. So I'm really glad that I went to a college prep academy when I was in third grade to high school graduation. It was K-12, but I started in third grade. And there, they just really stressed the importance of going to college and finding a career, even if not in a traditional four-year college at a trade school, or just, you know, finding your purpose in life and working towards that. So I knew I absolutely was going to college. Like, there was no question about that. But I didn't know what I wanted to do until way later. So I started college wanting to be an accountant. And I took, like, two accounting classes. And I was like, this is kind of boring. So I switched up from that. And then I started volunteering at a preschool. And I was like, I really like working with kids. So for a while, like a year or so, no, it was like a semester, I was undecided. So I switched from pre-accounting to undecided major. And I was like, child psychology kind of interests me and occupational therapy interests me. So I started shadowing both professions and doing research about both of them. And I decided on OT like my sophomore year of college, which is a lot later than most people do, but I'm glad I did. I applied and I took a gap year between undergrad and graduate school, and I got in. And I started OT, and pediatrics is where my heart is. Pediatrics is where I want to practice, I think, probably for the rest of my career. Yeah, I love OT.
What was the distinction between psychology and OT that made you decide to go with OT over psychology?
I like doing research, but child psychology, like, it was such a heavy research component, and I wanted to focus more on practicing the research instead of doing it.
Okay, so you went through OT school, and then somehow you decided to become an entrepreneur, and you said in your, and you know, in the bio that you sent me, that through a time of grief, you had this, you made this decision. Can you talk about that process?
Oh, that has a lot to do with being a Black therapist. So I'm not registered yet. I finished school, my master's program in May. So I graduated in May, but I had a really horrible experience at my second level two fieldwork. So I was dismissed from there. And so that delayed me a bunch because I had to find a new fieldwork placement, which I'm on right now. So I'm scheduled to get the licensure exam done the end of October. But my last experience at my 2B placement was horrible. It was a huge mismatch between me and the placement. Like, I didn't want that placement to begin with. And I could tell that that placement didn't really like me as a student. So it just ended in, it ended in flames. And once I was dismissed, it was kind of like I had nothing to do. So I was like, I could either sit here and sulk and cry and be miserable, or I could do something that makes me happy, which is being creative. And that's how the book was born.
Okay, so I didn't realize this. So when you say practicing in pediatric home health, you mean practicing like as a student, you're on your fieldwork doing
pediatric. Yes.
So your level two is in pediatric home health.
Yes, this is my third level two placement.
Okay, so you took an experience that was not positive, you think, related to being a person of color in your fieldwork.
Yes.
It didn't end as you wanted it to end, and instead of, you know, giving up or not using your time in a productive way, you decided to do something you really enjoy, which is being creative, and the coloring book. Now, how did you, like, what made you decide coloring book, and how, tell us about that process of actually publishing it, because I mean, it looks really not the I love the cover. It's very, you have a diverse representation of kids and a range of people across the lifespan on the cover. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I've oddly always known that I wanted to do a book for kids that educated them about what OT is. Sorry. Sometimes I just, like, it'll be like 4 a.m. on a Thursday, and I'm like, oh, I want to make a coloring book about this. And so I've had the idea for about a year. It was just that time when I was dismissed from fieldwork and I wasn't working that I had the most time to dedicate to it. So I just turned out like 30 pages in one night. Yeah, and I started researching online, and then I came across like some YouTube YouTubers who do videos about self-publishing, and I found out about Amazon KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, it's like amazing that you don't have to go through a publisher anymore. You can self-publish your books, upload it online.
Right.
Yeah, they go through an approval process, which is kind of annoying, but after that, you have a book.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because listen to this, audience. You know, sometimes we think there's something we can't do, and we're in a time when we have a lot of information at our fingertips. If we don't know how to do it, but we want to do it, there's a way to figure it out. And, you know, that might be getting with a coach or a consultant, or it could be what Trisha did, which was researched it on YouTube and learned about self-publishing. I published through KDP. Most of my books have been published through KDP. It's passive revenue. It's a great stream of income for those who want to write or create activity books or journals and other forms of written materials. And so I second your recommendation for KDP. It is amazing. Like, you can be an author without even really spending a whole lot of time. Like you said, there is that process where they go through, and I think they just kind of make sure that you're not putting something out there that they wouldn't want represented on Amazon. But that process is even fairly quick, right? Like 2 days, yes. 48 yeah. hours or something like that. They take to review it and they provide your feedback. All right. So you spoke a little bit about being a person of color, being a Black OT, and how that impacted you perceived it impacted your field work for level two. Can you talk about what advice would you to give to other Black OT students in their field works?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I would say definitely work with your field work coordinator or your field work person who does the placements to make sure that it's a really good match. Because I knew once I got that placement that it wasn't somewhere I wanted to be. But I was just like, well, I don't have any choice. Like, it's only 12 weeks, so I'll just get it over with. And obviously that was a mistake. So I would just say, make sure that's somewhere that you really want to do your placement. Especially since a lot of people get job offers after field work. You want to make sure that it's somewhere that you're interested in, to where if they do give you a job offer, then you'll want to stay on there, long term. I knew I didn't want to be there. So I think that was the first mistake. But really, it was circumstantial because it was the closest, it was just convenient. So I just ended up there, and unfortunately, but it worked out well because I ended up with this book once I was dismissed. So it's okay. So yeah, make sure it's a good match. Also, I would say pull from as many sources of support that you have during field work as possible. My family's not super supportive, but I do have supportive friends, and I do have supportive former professors and mentors on my college campus that I pulled from. Just field work is hard, so whenever you need someone to talk to, make sure you have that online. Make sure if you can go to someone's house and they can cook dinner, get that off your plate for the night. That's great. If I don't know, you have a few extra dollars and you can order DoorDash or you can get Instacart. Going to field work full time is really difficult, especially when you're not getting paid. And so you want everything else in your life to kind of flow easily. And then I guess my last piece of advice would be to just be confident. It was really difficult being the only Black therapist, the only Black therapy student in that setting. And so I think I internalized kind of not feeling worthy, and that did kind of impact my performance. So I think that contributed to me being dismissed as well. It was a hodgepodge of performance, and I think me being the only Black therapist and my mental health, it was just in the setting and not being a correct match. So just take care of yourself, be confident. You got this, you belong there. Do your best, make sure it's a good match, and you should be okay.
That's great advice. I do want to ask about making sure it's a good match. So you mentioned, working with your field work coordinator in terms of what setting you're going into, but do you always know, I'm curious, you said you knew it wasn't a good match. Did you know that before you went into the field work, or once you got there and you realized, hey, I'm the only Black OT and this environment feels uncomfortable? Did you know that beforehand, or was it once you got there?
I knew the moment I saw that I got that placement. When we got our emails for where we would be placed, I knew that wasn't good for me. But I was familiar with the hospital.
Okay.
And I had had negative experiences at that hospital before.
I see. And okay.
Yeah, I knew immediately.
Okay, so let's say, and feel free to just say, I don't know even how to answer that, Tamiko, why you ask me that? But I'm just going to say you don't know the setting. Mm-hmm. So you had some experience that was not positive. So that you know, you had an idea of how it could go based on those previous experiences. Mm-hmm. But let's just say a student has no idea. You know, they're new to the state that in which they're in the OT program. They get a placement. They think it's going to be okay. They get there. And there are issues with microaggressions or other things related to racism or not being a place that they feel like they really can thrive in. I'm just curious, what do you think you would do in that situation? It sounds like you thought initially, I'm going to stick it out. I just figure it out, push through it, finish the 12 weeks. That ended up not working out. So I know you said loaded question to me go earlier. Question, right? And you may not have the answer, but I'm just curious if you have any thoughts about going into these settings. And you don't always know that it may turn out to be extremely challenging for various reasons.
Well, I think if it's a situation where you think it can be remediated, I think getting a meeting with your fieldwork coordinator and your clinical instructor and whoever you can get involved as soon as possible. Like, don't be afraid to involve your fieldwork coordinator because they're supposed to support you. So if it's a situation that you think can be solved with a meeting, get that meeting as soon as possible, even if it's week one. I think if it's something that you feel cannot be solved through a meeting or a discussion, then this sounds weird, but be comfortable with withdrawing. I'm the type of person where I don't place anything over my mental health. So even if it's like, it's week 11 and I'm going home with anxiety attacks and crying and panicking all the time, I'm going to have to withdraw because this has impacted my health. So I know not everyone's like that, but just if you've exhausted all options and you feel like nothing's going to get better and you don't feel safe, then be comfortable with saying, I can't do this anymore.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Prior to then, definitely rely on your fieldwork coordinator because it's their job to support you.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier too, having a support network available with other people that you can talk to. So yes, definitely reaching out to your fieldwork coordinator and then also your other folks who are part of your support group and network. You know what I really like about your response, Tricia, is that you said have a meeting. Like, have a meeting, talk and conversate and attempt to remediate. And too often that doesn't take place. And not everybody's comfortable with that. And we have this thing that we say, you know, I say frequently about situations like this. It's like, we got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And we need to talk. Like, we need to communicate. You know, I think we're in a time where, you know, emails and text messages and, because I'm like, that's not, for me, this is my opinion, it's not the best form of communication. Mm-hmm. I think emails are good for documentation trails and things like that, but for remediation, have a conversation and really try to actively listen to one another. And that means, you know, you put your best efforts forward. And I totally understand what you're saying. It's like, if you did everything that you could do and you really try to remediate, but it is not working and your mental health is being impacted, you got to take care of yourself. We have another saying that we say is like, you can't pour from an empty cup. Mm-hmm. So if you are stressed out and your health is being impacted, then another placement may be the best option. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So can you tell the listeners like how they get the book and how much it costs, the coloring book?
Yes, the book is available on Amazon. You could either search What's It Like to Be an Occupational Therapist, which is the title, or you could search Trisha McNeil, and it'll pop up. I have a few books on there, but this one will pop up. It's $7.95 on Amazon currently. It's currently only available on Amazon. I'm hoping to get onto other platforms, but for now, that's where it is. And it's Prime, so you get it with Prime shipping, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. So I really like it. There's a lot of variety of activities. And so at first when I opened it, I was like, is this for elementary students? But then as I went through the book, I was like, yeah, this will also be great for middle school. Mm-hmm. Research shows that like programs to recruit students into the OT profession work best if you start as early as middle school. Because sometimes by the time people get to high school, they've already decided which are the preferred health professions. And so I think this is a great tool for recruitment. Any persons listening who are responsible for recruitment or recruitment and retention, this is a good, I think, a good tool to use for recruitment and introducing people, particularly people of color who may not be familiar with occupational therapy, into our profession. So I was going to say, what's next for you? But I know one is finishing your field work and probably taking your exam. How many more weeks do you have left?
4 more weeks.
4 more, okay. Right around the corner, right?
Yeah. currently studying for the exam, which has not been fun. But I think the resource that I'm using is good for me. I'm using Pass the OT, and I bought the 2-month plan. And I think it's been going pretty well. I plan on buying the NBCOT study pack and just doing those practice exams like a week before I take the exam. But yeah, so studying, taking the exam, finishing field work. I absolutely love my new field work. I'm hoping that I get a job offer from it.
Okay. And you said that's pediatric home health. So that's where you plan to stay at after you finish, is
yes,
going into the home and working. I love a happy ending. My listeners, you know what I'm saying? This is such a happy ending because there was a stressful time, and this is not uncommon for students of color to have experiences that are very challenging and stressful. But I love the fact that you stuck with it because you know this is what you want to do. You know, mm-hmm, you are committed to becoming an occupational therapist. And so you didn't let this barrier, this thing that could have seemed like it was impossible to overcome, you didn't let that stop you. You pivoted. You created an awesome resource in the midst of the situation. Mm-hmm. And you are now at a place that you say you love.
I love it. Yes. I love it.
You love it. So you said there was a break in between the one that didn't work out and this, mm-hmm, one. And then when you found this one, did you know, like, that you were going to love it? Like, was there anything different that made you feel like this is it? I love this, and this is actually what I want to do after I graduate. I hope I get a job here.
I was actually in communication with this company before everything happened about working here permanently. And so then when that situation happened with my last field work, I was like, something happened in my last field work. I need a new placement. Do you take field work students? And they were like, absolutely. So I just knew, like, I have a heart for kids. I love pediatrics. So any pediatric position, I think, already looks attractive to me. But I like the flexibility of home health. I like that you can make your own schedule. I like that there's no, like, middleman. Like, you and the parent, your sole focus is the child. There's no, like, red tape or, you know, like office drama or anything like that. It's like I go to work, my focus is the child and the family, and then I go to my next child and family. Like, that's it. So I knew that I would enjoy that. And it's in a state that I really enjoy. Colorado is beautiful. So it was just like I made a list of things that I wanted for my next field work after the last one ended poorly, and it pretty much checked off all of them.
So you had a vision of what you wanted in your field work, and it sounds like maybe even your work moving forward. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you would like the audience to know?
I plan on making more books. I really, really, really enjoy making them. This was probably one of my favorite experiences of my life, really, making this book. And then I have a few more and I plan to keep going. So following me on my Amazon author page will be great because there's a lot more to come.
And are your other books OT related? Or are they?
No, I have a word search book for adults. I have a children's book called I Am More Than Strong. I have a children's book coming up called Raina's Rainbow Lemonade that teaches color theory. It's being illustrated right now, but that'll be up soon. I'm hoping by November. And then I have journals and notebooks. I have a little bit of everything.
Okay, so if we go to the author page, if we put that in the show notes, we'll be able to see all the products.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I might have, I'm definitely going to, like I said, buy more of the OT coloring books. But also, I want to look at the other ones. I love books, too. I'm like a readaholic, if that's mm-hmm. such a thing. activity, and I like diversifying my skill set to do different things, which is one is publishing and supporting other people who are doing similar types of work. So definitely want to support Trisha, audience, please. Christmas is coming up. If you celebrate Christmas, our other holidays are also coming up. Birthdays, of course, are all year long. Check out Trisha's resources and purchase and support and give and share. Trisha, thank you so much for your flexibility and patience. I had a little hang up earlier this morning, so Trisha was very patient with me, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you reaching out to me. I tell you, I've mentioned recently that I have maybe one at minimum a week of people reaching out to me, and I appreciate how you reached out, which is saying, "Hey, do you have any advice about how to promote the book?" And I'm like, "Hey, yeah, I want to buy it. And you want to be on my podcast?" So I'm just happy to hear from you. I'm happy to connect and looking forward to seeing your future publications and definitely sending positive thoughts your way related to the job that you hope to get after you finish your fieldwork. And just so happy that this was a positive ending. And hopefully those that are listening who may be having challenging experiences in the profession or in a fieldwork setting, that you know that it doesn't have to end on a low note, especially that this is something that you're called to do, to be an occupational therapist, to help people engage in our meaningful occupations. Know that that's what you're called to do and nothing can stop you. There might be challenges, there might be barriers. I don't want to sound like it's just a fairy tale, you know, as Trisha said, and there are many stories. This is one story she's sharing, but there are many stories of people who have challenges, but it is possible to overcome those challenges and thrive in our profession. And Trisha is evidence of that. So thank you again, Trisha. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, don't forget to follow.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.